Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio, coming to you at 8 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evening. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to be able to do so. I want to do something a little different because this is Tajuddin, Camilla Tajuddin's show live on Blog Talk Radio. Murad Speaks is New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Murad Speak. I am Murad Muhammad. And so then, for my beloved sister, we will never forget her, for she will be with us until I'm able not to be able to do this. But thus far, we will keep her name alive. And sometimes we go on the air and we don't constantly remember this is her hour, Camilla Tajuddin. I have a host tonight. I will put them on the phone. One is the former heavyweight champion of the world, George Foreman's brother, Roy Foreman, and Eric Carr, a young man that was the cruiserweight contender and a student of the Bible. I like that. And these two gentlemen I've been knowing very well. If you give me the opportunity, I will try to reach both of them and put them on, God willing. So I just need just a few minutes, a few seconds, matter of fact, of your time. And God willing, I will be able to get both of them. Bear with me. I have Eric Carr on the phone.
Hello. Hello.
Eric, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Are you able to get Roy Foreman?
Yes, let me call him. Hold on.
Brothers and sisters, this is something that normally I do not do, but I want to keep her legacy alive because she has that ability. And she have interviewed some of the most outstanding guests, all coming from entertainment, coming from the music world, as well as the sports world. But Camilla Tajuddin traveled the globe with Muhammad Ali, and she was known for TV. That's what she was known of, the TV world. And she did a wonderful, wonderful job in meeting these various different celebrities in all walks of life. So because of her passing away, that we will never forget her name, Camilla Tajuddin, celebration of her sport entertainment. I want to say to you that I have a deep honor and privilege to introduce to you two men. One was a former cruiserweight contender, and I found him to be a student of the Bible, a man that is in his own business. He's an independent contractor. He's an entrepreneur and have done many things from so many people that are in tragedy. Especially our brothers and sisters as catching hell in Puerto Rico. He has sent water and food and things over to them. And his name is Eric Carr. Eric, are you there?
Yes, all right.
And the other gentleman I'm putting on the phone, this is a man that people know from USA, ESPN. And when I was doing my own fights for Madison Square Garden, he was my commentator. Oh, he knows the boxing world. His brother was the former heavyweight champ of the world, George Foreman. And he began to do commentating for HBO. So they have a gift. One is the champ in the boxing ring, and the other one is the champ as a contender. Is Roy Foreman on the phone?
I'm getting him on the phone now.
All right, while you're doing that, saying to the viewing audience out there that this is new for me, because very rare put anyone on the line. But once again, I reiterate, this is what Camila Tajuddin did for the duration of her time being on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks, for over 2 years. And she never missed a beat. Matter of fact, her last show and the last time anyone spoke to her was me. We was on the air, and both of us grew up under Muhammad Ali. Her as a TV announcer, as well as a TV host. She hosts her own network called Celebrity Sports Entertainment, Camila Tajuddin. So we gave her the opportunity to have Sunday evening at 8 o'clock p.m., and she did a wonderful, wonderful job. And the celebrities and the entertainers, it was unbelievable. There was no one she can call and they would not say no. They said yes because of her relation with the greatest of all times, Muhammad Ali. Are you there, Carl?
Yes, I'm here.
Is George Foreman there?
Roy?
Are you there, Roy?
Hold on. He's making transition on it now. Hold on.
For Roy to come on. But if you can speak, Carl, I'll start with you. And I'll get to Roy when he can come on. I also want to ask both of you that when one is talking, the other one put the phone on hold so we don't hear no noise in the background, and you'll come across very well. You can't have your radio on or any other phone on, or you will get an echo. And the people will not be able to hear you too well. Is Roy Foreman there? I'm almost sounding like Howard Cosell.
Let me ask you this here. The phone number he needs to call on is 646-668-8063, right?
Yes, but you have to call him and push the button like a conference call. That's all you have to do.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to do on my phone, but some kind of way it's not allowing me to do that. But can he call in on that phone number?
No, he cannot. What he can do, can you do it on your other phone? You got another number. Are you there, Eric?
Yes, I'm here. Hold on.
Eric, are you there?
Yeah. I am here.
If I call you on your other number?
No, I think if you call me back on this phone, then I can have him on.
Okay, I'll do just that.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and you call me back on this number.
All right, brothers and sisters, these things happening called modern technology, but patience is virtual. We have to have patience sometime. And, of course, again, I reiterate, this is also new to me because I don't usually do this. I don't like interruption. You can interview me. It's okay. But for me to interview others, I don't usually do that. But I want to keep the tradition going with that young lady, Camila Tajuddin, our beautiful sister, because this is what she did. And give me 1 second, 2 seconds. Okay, I'm back in the show, and brothers and sisters, I thank you for your cooperation and your time and your patience. Things happen, modern technology. Once again, I reiterate, This is the first time I have done this, but this is Sunday evening, Camilla Ajadeen's show. She interviews so many major celebrities and athletes because she traveled with the great Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. And she had her own network called Camilla Tajuddin Celebrity Sports Entertainment. And because of her association, a lot of people gravitated to her, and she was able to interview some great actors, some great entertainers, some great sportsmen in all walks of life. And I thought that was unique. She was on my show for 2 years. Now, she did TV for over 25 years, own network, and she was very good in doing so. I used to be interviewed by her. When I saw her do her shows, very rare, she said, cut. She was a professional. She knew how to do her own entertainment. And also, sponsors, she was able to announce their names and give them their credit. She was good in what she did. So Muhammad Ali enjoyed her because she wore the hijab. She wasn't dressed like normal females. Her head was always covered. She was married with 3 boys, a husband that was an engineer, and she was very successful. When she retired, I asked her to come on my show, and she took Sunday. And Sunday, she passed away talking to me when we were doing Muhammad Ali and reminiscing. And when we recollect the things that we have done with Muhammad Ali, we shocked the world. She passed away. I didn't know it. Her husband called me and said, do you know you're the last one to talk to my wife? May God be pleased with her. Separate her false from the east as thou separate the east from the west and grant her Jannah, paradise. Well, this evening, I have two gentlemen, two distinguished gentlemen on the phone. And I have to introduce to you a man that I fell in love with. He was a light heavyweight contender. No, I'm sorry. He was a cruiserweight contender. But he also had his own business. He was an entrepreneur. This young man was a student of the Bible. And I enjoy speaking with him. Speaking to his wife, speaking to his family, speaking to the congregation, and to our Christian brothers and sisters out there who I fell in love with because we all are the same people. We all come from Adam. That is, Eric, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Moran.
And on the phone with Eric is an outstanding gentleman. He is the brother of the former heavyweight champion of the world, George Foreman. But he, George, became a commentator. But George Foreman was known as one of the greatest heavyweights that ever lived. His brother didn't throw a left hook or right hand. He's very articulate and became a commentator for ESPN, became a commentator for USA. And I'm proud to announce when I took over Madison Square Garden Network, he was my commentator. I want to introduce to you, call to Roy Foreman. Roy, are you there?
Good evening, Maraud. Yes, I'm here. Glad to be here.
It's a privilege and an honor. I want you all to know I don't usually do this. I've been on the air for 4 years, and I speak for an hour. I speak for 2 hours. I don't be interrupt, and I don't introduce people. But I took upon myself to put 2 men that I fell in love with their character, their ability to perform in society. Neither one of them ever been a burden, they're an asset. So let's start with you. Now, I know you was a boxer, and that's what you're not really known to me as, but you did fight for the cruiserweight and tender, but decide that you wasn't going to box anymore. Why is that, Carl?
What happened with Moran, first of all, let me just say this. I love the sport of boxing. I think that boxing was a sport that actually allowed me to get the discipline, the ability, the courage, and the workmanship to be prepared on the business world that I am today. But one reason why I actually stopped boxing was this. You know, of course, when you're in boxing from the beginning, you really don't make a lot of money. You have to actually be a big name or be a big star, and that's how the money's gotten. And, of course, you know, he's such a superb promoter. He promoted the likes of Larry Holmes, Roy Jones Jr., the Razor Ruddock Mike Tyson fight, and so on, Eddie Gregory. Before he was Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, he was Eddie Gregory. And you promote him. So I can't tell you about boxing. You definitely know. But there's it's a glorious part of boxing where you're glamorous, you're on TV, on the radio, and people see you, they know you in your name and like. But from a financial standpoint, when you're trying to make it, the boxing is not there. So what happened was I actually started my business because I'm here in Texas. So in Texas, there's a lot of building that goes on, a lot of construction, the oil industry, what have you. And I started with one dump truck. I met a Hispanic guy in a truck stop, and he was telling me the kind of money he made. And so when he told me that, I went and got a dump truck, and one dump truck got two got three. I got some more heavy equipment, and that was basically it. So in my boxing career, I was like, hey, man, if I can make this kind of money and don't have to take no punches, I'd rather do this. And then in the same token, I employed people. So that was my reason why I actually quit boxing.
Call an entrepreneur. You know, sometimes it's difficult. They say God says first comes difficult, then comes ease. And you chose to do it the hard way, do it yourself. But once you become successful, oh, how sweet it is. You don't have to depend on nobody. You depend on yourself. You depend on getting up in the morning and making things happen. So boxing is a rarity, and it's a gift. Everybody cannot do it. But it does keep you out of shape. It keeps you away from drugs. It keeps you away from being what you are created to do, and that is to be an asset to society. My friend Roy,
Yes, sir. You
know how I feel about you. And I tell you, man, I want to always ask you a question, as you came from some stock that most people don't have that fighting blood in them. But you come from a man that not only became a great fighter and a world champion, but a man that decided to preach the gospel. And that's kind of difficult to do. And then return back to the ring and at his age become the heavyweight champ of the world. What made you decide not to be a boxer, but to use your gift and being very articulate and knowing how to call that sport? That a lot of people can't do today as a commentator of the greatest, I say, sport in the whole world, because it's a one-on-one sport. You can't, there's no timeout. That bell said ding, you on your own. What made you choose not to fight, Roy?
Well, you just gave the first answer right there. There's no timeout. you just gave the first answer. But let me add something, if you don't mind, for a second, Marat. When I was a little kid, and I want to tell you just how special this is to me, because, you know, most of us grew up in Christian households. And I always tell people that the first time I actually seen Muhammad Ali, I was like, back in 1965, he came to Houston with a fellow we knew by the name of Lloyd Wells. But, and that was fine too, you know, we didn't get that close to him, but we got a chance to see him. But you know, the thing that kind of pulled me into different directions as far as, because boxing was my way of education, first of all. My brother was able to send me to one of the finest colleges in, you know, in the country. So all of those things helped me into a great school. But the one thing that gave me a drive about a certain thing, and a lot of people, or maybe I could have outlived some of those people, there used to be a radio program that came on called Muhammad Speaks. And that night, as a little kid, sometimes the only thing you could get on the radio, because, you know, back in the early 60s, the signals weren't that good all around the country, to listen to that particular radio program. And he talked about the importance, and I'm talking about, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. Herbert's father, of course. You know, I still consider one of the greatest people in the world. in the history of America for sure, in the world, no, not just America. I pulled a lot from listening to that on those Sunday night interviews. Now, I'm not sure when he actually broadcasted or whether it was delayed or whatever, but I tell you something, Murad, and that's why hearing you, I didn't know you were back on the air doing this, but this has kind of like come full circle for me. Not only being able to have heard him speak back in the day, but now hearing you being able to put these words out here for people to listen now. And I'm hoping that some young kid really do the same thing with you, because that carried me a long way about my black roots, how important it is to be a black man in this country and speak up for yourself and try to do things for yourself. That's where I came from. So just hearing you tonight kind of set my mind back to those nights in the 1960s when, like I said, the first time I met Muhammad, and the first time I heard, I used to listen to great Muhammad on the radio. That's how much this has meant to me. But the answer to your question, so I mean, I just wanted to say that to finally, it had taken me 50 years to get a chance to speak to say that to someone. Because we were a Christian household, you know, and the Islamic and being Muslim was different in our community. We hadn't seen a lot of it. We hadn't seen that yet. And that's what Muhammad brought into, Muhammad Ali, I'm talking about, he brought that into our neighborhood and our community. Along the way, he brought the rest of what the Muslim community was all about. And we got to know the difference and understand our Muslim brothers. And I'm so glad of that. But I took a lot of advice from that. And then along the way, I got a chance to meet the minister now, Farrakhan, along the way as well. So, you know, this is like a real pleasure to me, man. I know you want me to say something else, but I had to put that in there first just to let people know and let you know as well. But the business part, what brought me into this was I've seen a lot of people that just didn't know what they were talking about, and I grew up in the sport with guys around my house like Joe Frazier, my mother's house, I should say, Joe Frazier, Joe Lewis, Sugar Ray Robinson, Muhammad, all those people that visited, that people got a chance to intermingle with over the years. And Don King, at the time, was the first black man I met that was a real entrepreneur in this sport back in 1973 when I first met him. So that's what guided me into wanting to become what I've done in the sport of boxing.
Well, you know, you're 100% correct. I'm an E-man, and I never thought I would become an E-man. And I never thought that I would become a radio host. But what happened, Roy, is I'm a student of Revelation. I'm a student of the Holy Quran, where I study every day, sometimes twice a day. But I've been doing it all over the world. People know me. When you see me give my parties after a fight, it costs me sometimes 70, 80, 90,000. But you won't see me at the party. Everyone knows, where's Murad? He's in his suite.
Yeah, you never were there. That's right.
I would be in my suite studying just to stay focused. I didn't want to be a part of any con or trick or beating the fighters. I didn't play that game. I didn't get high. I didn't smoke cigarettes. I didn't drink. I didn't freak with people. I didn't do anything of that. And everywhere I went, I took my wife so I wouldn't fall victim. I do know when you have power, you find and land on the roof in a helicopter and living in a bungalow called the Hilton, and you got your own pool and you have your own butler, and you the top of the shelf, and you got your whole promotion going live, Murad Muhammad. Well, they test you. Boy, do they test you. But they couldn't test me because I would say, my wife right there in that room. And I thought it was me, and later on, 2020 hindsight, I found out that my strength was my wife, because you can't cheat around your wife. And I would fly in different countries, and they said, man, what are you doing with your wife, all these beautiful women? I said, that's why I got my wife. Because I didn't want to fall victim. I wanted to stay focused. So when I produced and the fight jumped off, it was Murad Muhammad presents real fights. All my fights was real. You know, one of the greatest moments was to put you on the air. And people said, man, you can get people better than him against people. I said, going forward, going to be with me as long as I can put him on my head. I produced those fights on Madison Square Garden. Got a reward from the executive vice president. Can't think of his name, Kevin. You're the only promoter that took us out of the red into the black because I paid them for those 28-some-odd fights. But because that you was that commentator that kept all those fighters live, we was in New York on Madison Square Garden. We didn't care if we was in Mississippi. We could be in Alabama. We could be in Texas. We could be in Florida. We could be in Arizona. We could even be in Puerto Rico or Mexico or Venezuela. We said live from Madison Square Garden, and it worked.
That's right.
And so we had a good time, brother, and doing that because no one could tell me what to do and what not to do. So what I decided to do, I decided, okay, I'm going to leave the game after Manny Pacquiao, and I start doing what I know how to do. And I became a phenomenal in the student. I'm a student of Emir Wallerstein Muhammad. So when you say Muhammad speaks, my network says Mirage speaks. I couldn't say Muhammad and use my last name because I didn't want to copy that. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us how to speak. There's not a man that grew up under him and he didn't come out being articulate. You got to understand, the first one was Ms. Farrakhan. Look how big he is today. I remember when Ms. Farrakhan was on Broadway playing Calypso songs, and he had a song that was a hit called "The White Man's Heaven is a Black Man's Hell." And he was a singer and a violinist. Look at him today. He moves people. He motivates people. He makes them want things out of life. Young men is moving fast, stepping at the right down at the right time. Families. No crime. That's an asset here in America. And then came, well, he came before Farrakhan because he was taught by the minister, Malcolm X. Malcolm X was a pimp, a hustler, a drug dealer. He went to jail for pimping white women. That's why they gave him 11 years. He met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, turned his whole life around. Today they name schools after, streets after. You got children in Africa saying, "I'm Malcolm X, I'm Malcolm X, I'm Malcolm X." And then a guy came that they told him, "No niggas get served in here in Kentucky." His name was Cassius Clay. He became the greatest of all time. No one could shut him up. He was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, there's many more like us. So when you said you gravitated to that, it's just like me saying to you, I don't care what nobody said. All I do is hear Dr. King's voice, and I sat quietly, listened to that man. Oh, my God, could he move you? And so it had nothing to do with what your religion was. It's the things you would say, the things you would say to people out there. So I understand what you were saying, and it motivated you to go on to be a commentator around the world. Remember, Roy sold not one punch, but they know Italy. He don't know left hand. They know him in Spain. He didn't throw no uppercut. They know him in Russia. They knew you all around the world because why? You was on that air, and boxing is a unique sport, one-of-a-kind sport, a rarity, and you got to have it in your blood. You can't just say, I got 8 sons. I would love for them to be world champion, but it wasn't in their blood. If it ain't in your blood, you got to get out the game. So you chose to be intellectual, and my God, you did a wonderful job. Carl, I want to say to you, Eric, man, I didn't know you knew that Bible like you did. And when I heard you break down scripture and you struggle. See, that's what it's all about in the world. is in the world to be able to say what God says. And when you call me with your wife, no man put his wife on the phone. And you put your wife on the phone, and you say, say that again, Marat. I said, what does God want me to reiterate? Oh, repetition? I'm being redundant? No, say it to my wife. And then to put your family members, your uncle, on the phone made you feel that something about Marat, I like this young man. And you see, brother, we met, and people don't know this, you didn't want to go around me, under me, or over me. You wanted Roy Jones Jr. to fight in Madison Square Garden with Don King. And no one could have made that match. And you came to me, and I said, if you can produce that fight, go ahead. Do it. I'm not going to be a part of it, but I'll get you Roy. And I gave you Roy, didn't ask you for one nickel. And Roy went in there. Tell me what made you gravitate to me, Eric, that you felt that I'm God sent.
Let me say this, Marat. I overknow you, God sent. You know, Marat, you're like one of the prophets, Abraham, Jeremiah. See, people don't understand. That wasn't just not prophets back then, but some people possessed a prophetic gift today, and you're one of them. And they think then did this or this person did that. But say the same God that had those people and gave them the gift, he's the same God to give gift to the people now. I've only known you to only have integrity in boxing. You're one of the few promoters that have integrity. If a man came to you and you said, hey, listen, you're going to get $5,000 for fighting or $5 million. But, Lord, you made sure he got his $5,000. He got his $5 million. He didn't get $4,999. He didn't get $5 million. But he got exactly what you told him that he was going to get. So I trusted you. When I came to you, I didn't go around. I went straight to it. And you know what you did? Like any brother, a man, most brothers wouldn't do. You produced Roy Jones. You didn't come and say, hey, you need to give me this amount of money and that amount of money. You just said, young man, if you can make it happen, here's Roy. You make it happen. So I have nothing but love and respect for you because I know who you are and I know what you are. And I know that Allah calls certain men to do things. I know Allah has his own soldiers and he has his own prophet, and Marat Muhammad is one of them.
Well, I want to say to you, young man, those accolades only makes me work harder. I don't need accolades. I don't need a pat on the back. I do everything for the sake of God. That's why I was out. I could beat my competitors. It was greed. It was money. Money comes and money goes. You see, and I can say it. This is my show. I can say that's one thing about his old saying, who pays the fiddle calls the tune. I pay for this. I've been on for 4 years. Never thought I would do a show 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. I don't use no notes. I didn't call neither one of y'all to say, hey, what are we going to talk about? It's just something that comes from the heart. Both of y'all got skills. Both of y'all know your places. And you can speak about the things you have done. It's called history reward of all research. I couldn't get these fighters to see this. I wanted them to understand there's more out of life than just a left hook, a right hand, and a gift. But give it back. And I'm going to go on the radio to say this. I invited George Foreman to my office. At that time, it was four more men with me. He came because of me. I got a picture with he and I and the other four with Jerry Eisenberg. And he said, Marat, why did you want me to come here? I said, George, you got a gift. And your gift is boxing.
can help your members of the family if you can't give them monetary compensation. I said, go back and do the gift that God gave you. He promised me something. He said, Mirage, you move my soul. If I come back, I'm coming to you. He came back. You know the gratification I got? He didn't come to me. It's that he won. He became heavyweight champ, and he took care of his congregation. He gave back to the people. That's all I want. Now I get my rewards with my Lord because I manifested. And he and I was very, very close. He would call me for this, call me for that, but I never promoted a fight. And when he and I was in New Orleans, they told me to cancel that for him. I said, I'm not canceling anything. Roy, I found out in my 40 years of promoting, they did the statistics on me. I never had a cancellation in any fight. That's a long story why I don't have cancellations because I take out insurance. But I knew if I cancel a major fight, it's going to kick me off the air. I'm black. I'm Muslim. I don't have a master or PhD degree. And I was out there on my own. So I had to produce. I had to not slip because I know Aaron slipped, King slipped. And they was powerful enough to tell them all to go to hell. I could not do that. So George Foreman and I were sitting there with water up to our knees, supposed to do an interview together. We couldn't do it because we were fearful that the water would connect with the wires and we might get electrocuted. So we decided not to do it. So we sitting there at the arena, and he said, Mirage, Larry Holmes love you. I need you to go to Larry. I said, what do you like for me to tell him? Tell Larry that he had $10 million, or let's get it on. But they didn't bring me $10 million. They slipped up. Now here they come. They got the $10 million. Tell him this fight is not going to happen. I said, why, George? He said, my mama passed away. And if I lose, I don't have no one to go to cry to. That touched me. Boy, did that touch me, Roy. And what I did was I went to Larry. I said, this fight ain't happening, Larry. What do you mean? It's $10 million. He's making $10 million. I'm making. I said, Larry, it's not happening. I said, no man take his mother and use it as an excuse unless he meant it. He said he is not fighting you because if he lose, he don't have his mama to go cry to. Anybody that loves their mama know what that means. Our mama's the only one we will tell our business to because we know mama going to tell us the truth. And so that's a true story. So that's who I am, Carl, and that's what I did. I had morals, and I'm not just talking about below your belt. Morals is want for your brother that which you want for yourself to be all that they can be. And my rewards will be in the day of judgment. I try to tell them all that there's a final day of judgment, and your portfolio will be read to you. It's what have you done for humanity? And that was my way of doing things. But, Roy, I want to ask you a question, man. We had some good times. But we had you, and I can't recollect, you know, I'm getting old, I'm a senior, who was your partner on all our fights. And the man that we used to pay to actually do the telecasts for us, I can't remember his name, you probably remember, he said to me.
Sometimes it goes off like that, he'd come back in.
Oh, okay.
He said, yes. I said, why the hell would they do that? He said, they're rich. You ain't rich like them. And I get my money at the night of the fight. I said, well, I feel good about that. But who was your partner in the commentator? And who was our producer that sent our fights around the world? You remember those?
Well, you got to remember that. Now, this is the thing. This is funny because we had the guy actually is not, one of the guys is actually the voice of the New York Rangers, the hockey team, the New York Rangers. You had a couple of guys you came in. You brought in Al Bernstein. You brought in Al Bernstein. Now all of these guys brought into the networks, which, you know, I had a couple of trials, but for some reason they said I wasn't, you know, for whatever the reason. They gave me my trials, but, you know, but they picked these guys over me. And Brad Jacobs was your other guy who now, where is he? He's one of the top ranked shows for Bob Arum. You know, you trained these guys. You trained them. And now, you know, that's when you said something earlier about you don't need accolades. But you know, one of the things that I like about this through the conversation that we have, you and I and Eric, is that we won't have to wait till you standing over my coffin or we standing over yours. We can tell you right now the stuff that the things that you've done, and people can know from the right now. I don't understand and say, "Oh, well, Marad, this is what he done." No, people, I can tell you right now what Marad done. See, that's the good thing about being able to talk right now. Although it's easy to stand over a person's casket and say, "Oh, this guy did this," or "This lady did this." Oh, he was this. No, no, no. We'll give you. My mother used to always say, "Give me my flowers right now." They won't do me any good when I'm in the ground. So I want to give you your flowers now. And, you know, people look at these shows and they don't see those names. They won't even recognize those names. But I look at them all the time and I can say I work with those guys when I was with Marad through MSG. See, that's, and they see me all the time. And, you know, they talk to me about it. "Oh, man, remember we called this fight so-and-so fight. Remember we called so-and-so, yeah, you know, I produced this fight." See, that's what I'm saying. And because the networks are owned, I mean, and this is not a racist, Tony, so I hope it's not anyway, but if it is, you know, it sounds that way. But we know that 98% of networks are owned by the Jewish community. So they pick and choose and bring in who they want. There's no coincidence that all the guys that basically are running these shows are named Bernstein and Jacobs. That's just the way it is.
Well, it's amazing you brought that up, because this is how I met Brad Jacobs. Rain, "You have just reached Marad Muhammad." That's my team. And he would say, "Marad, this is Brad Jacobs. I need a fight in 3 days. Today is Sunday. Tuesday is the fight. But Don King said you can't do it." But I said, "I don't know. I'll ask." I said, "Okay, that's the hook." "Ring. Oh, this is Brad Jacobs. You're not in right now. Brad, I'll produce the fight." "Ring. You have just reached Marad Muhammad. Marad, who you got for the main event?" "Ring. This is Brad Jacobs. Brad, I got so-and-so." "Ring, you have just reached Marad Muhammad. How much money?" "Ring, I'll take such and such." "Ring, okay, fight is on." "Ring, I hit the highest rating in the history of USA. Call me again." "Same thing. Call me again." "Same thing." I didn't even know what Brad looked like. So I said, "Well, damn, Brad. Why you keep calling me when you're in trouble? Why don't you call me and give me an opportunity to do what I do?" And he said, "Well, you don't have any problem. You always produce good fights, and you give us the fights for good prices." So I read that Brad Jacobs was being kicked off of USA. So I called Brad. I said, "Brad, what happened?" He said, "Man, they're cutting boxing out." So when they cut boxing out, I said, "Brad, come on." I said, "Let me tell you the knock on the network." I said, "All the promoters are killing the people from the foreign sales, foreign market. They come here and they get disrespected. Your job is you take care of them." I said, "If you do that for me, you can make over 6 figures collectively for the year." He said, "I'll take it." So he is the one that kept my name strong with all the people from the foreign countries, because he knew he was a one-man show.
at USA. He did the matchmaking, the approval, and he paid the money. Then I get a call from my lawyer, Fred Levin, in Florida. He said, Murad, the FBI want to see you. Before. He said, don't worry. They're not going to see you without me. I said, okay, I'll be there. So I came in, and they came in, and they said, Brad Jacob, we think he's on the take. I said, why would y'all say that? Well, we came to you because you've been doing a lot of business with him. I said, I don't even know what he looks like. So he said, well, tell us about him. I said, all right, let me tell you this. I said, Brad Jacobs gave me from 125 to 225. All depends on the match. I said, now, if he's paying someone 325, then he's on the tape. But if he's paying anybody from 125 to 250 or 275, you can't charge him with that. And that's how he got free. Never said nothing to nobody. And Fred Levin said, you know, you just got him off the hook because he never paid nobody over that amount of money. And, of course, he worked for me. So then he said, Cedric Kushner wants me. I said, Cedric Kushner don't want you, Brad. Cedric Kushner wants you away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to ask you to come with him. This is what you do, Brad. Ask him for X amount of dollars. He came back. Rod, he gave it to me. I said, he did, yes. I put one provision in that agreement. If you fire me, within 3 years, you have to pay me for the duration of those 3 years. He said, you think I should put that? I said, man, they just taking you off and then they're going to get rid of you. Sure enough, about a year and a half, he was fired. But he got his money every month. And then he ended up doing things for Roy on the side. And so he was doing Roy. Me and Roy had separated. And so what blew his mind, I came back with Roy. So I told the whole world that Roy was fighting for the heavyweight champion of the world. He said, Murad, they're going to think that I'm not going to fight, but don't listen to them. I said, no problem. Brad Jacobs said, Murad ain't going to produce that. Now, I know he pulled miracles, but this ain't going to never happen. Murad told me that he is not fighting. And I'm with Roy every day, and boy, he made it big. It shocked the whole boxing world that Roy James Jr.'s that dude I wrote. That dude I wrote. And fought for the heavyweight championship of the world. Now, Don King was upset. So he wanted to know how the hell I pulled that over. That's another long story. I wouldn't be interviewing y'all if I told you that one. But the thing about it, go look at the fight. Carl, go look at the fight, Eric and you, Roy, and you will see Don is not even in the cameras. That's not Don. Don was angry with me and sat on the opposite side of the camera.
That's right.
He wanted to walk across the ring and say, I got you. But when we whooped that boy's tail, John Louise, and he came here with the world. And Don King said everything but, damn, you a miracle worker.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
See, brother, I'm writing my life story. You are in that story. But I have love for you, man. Everybody wants your spot. Everybody said, man, you can get him out of there. I said, he's not going nowhere. He got a lifetime guaranteed job. Laws, I'm the producer. And so we had fun, man. A guy named Smoke Gaynor came to me.
Oh, yeah.
When he came to New York. He said, damn, they all know me in New York. I said, son, y'all just thought it was Madison Square Garden. Do you know if the Rangers didn't play, they played us. When the Knicks didn't play, they played us. When the Yankees didn't play, they played us. I said, man, y'all in the heart of the media. Everybody that was out of sight, out of mind, because they was on that network called Madison Square Garden, we built our fighters. And today, you don't have promoters. They're not promoting. I'm sorry to say, man, they are brokers. But there ain't no money out there now, so they get paid for their service rendered. They're not promoting. And so, therefore, the networks love me because Dr. Ferry Pacheco, may God be pleased with him, Grand Paradise, when Adam came against Pacheco because he said he favored Murad Muhammad, joined Bob Arum because of Dr. Ferry Pacheco. Ferry Pacheco said, why do Murad Muhammad get most of the dates? He says, I write a number down, and he's on the other side of the phone. I said, how much you want? And damn if he be under my number or hit it on the head. He never went over it. He didn't know what I was writing. You guys come in here, hit me on my head, and then don't even promote the damn fight. They'll just put the fight on. Murad promotes. Then they jumped on Bill Clancy. Murad is getting dates back to back. You remember when they had Saturday and Sunday, and I'm in Mississippi doing Saturday and Sunday. So they jumped on, what's his name, Bill Clancy. He was a commentator.
Right.
He said, Murad beat out Adam and King, charged me for one. And that's what it was. It was all about my fighters. I didn't care. As long as it said live and living color around the world, whether I made money, broke even, or made a little bit, we was consistent. And that was the name of the game. Because it's called out of sight, out of mind to get to the big dollars. The big dollars pay you. So, yes, Roy, I thank your ability. I thank your accolades. I thank you for being a part of my history. And Carl, I thank you because I've never paid you one nickel. So those accolades I'm not paying you, they come from your heart. And I love you because of your spirit. I love you
because
of your soul. I love you because both of y'all are a mirror of one another. Y'all got character unbelievable. And those are the type of people I want to associate with. I want to thank you for listening to our show. And anytime we can do anything like this, I'll be honored to do so. I'll be back on Monday evening at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8. But I want to say if I said anything to motivate you, but if I hurt you, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I said anything wrong, I'm human. You got the point. I can make mistakes. But if I said anything for anyone out there in radio land to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your moral decency and your God consciousness of being obedient to God, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah himself. I greet you from all the prophets, from the prophet Adam to our prophet of the intellectual mind, Abraham, to Jesus, to Muhammad the prophet, the son of the prophet, from the language from the Holy Quran, assalamu alaikum. Thank you both for being on. Roy, love you. Love you, Eric.
Thank you.
May God be with you. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Allahu Akbar.